Okay, we continue. We're at Makos Yud Aleph Amud Beis. We're on the next Mishnah. As the last Mishnah said, that the killer leaves the Ira Miklat upon the death of a Kohen Gadol. And we've concluded the death of any one of the types of Kohen Gadols. Okay, now we're going to discuss unique situations regarding his dependence on leaving with the death of the Kohen Gadol, in which situations where it may not work out exactly. So, now, there has to be, obviously, what happens if he's brought to trial, and we kind of alluded to this already in the last Gemara over here. He's brought to trial, and when he killed, there was a Kohen Gadol. Okay, now he's being tried. Okay, and he has not been finalized, and the Kohen Gadol dies before his judgment is rendered. Okay, so now that's the one we mentioned yesterday. Misha Nigmardino, if after the killer sentence of exile was finalized, but it was beforehand, Mace Kohen Gadol. Let me back that up. I'm one step ahead of myself here. If when they did the judgment, and right after the judgment, the Kohen Gadol dies, before he goes into exile. Mishenig Mardino Meis Kohen Gadol. Now that's an interesting situation, because he has not yet gone to the city of refuge. Up to now we've said that he leaves the city of refuge upon the death of the Kohen Gadol. But now the Kohen Gadol dies before he's even gone to the city of refuge. He's been declared guilty b'shogeg. He has to go to Nir HaMiklat, and that moment they get news the Kohen Gadol just dies then.
Lucky guy.
Doesn't have to go.
So the halacha. Oh, wow. What?
He has to go and he has to wait for the next Kohen Gadol to die.
Okay, Mishnah says, Hareza Einagola, he is not get exiled.
Yeah.
The Gemara is going to give you the logic later. Not only does the death of the Kohen Gadol return a person from exile, it spares a person exile to begin with, as long as it occurs after his sentence was finalized. The Gemara will give the logic later, maybe today. Now's the case that we mentioned before. Ima chalo nigmar dino meis kohen gadol. What if the kohen gadol dies before the judgment is rendered? Umanu acher tachtov. But now they appointed a new kohen gadol before the judgment was finalized. Okay. Wait a minute. Ula acher mikan nigmar dino, and now the judgment is finalized. Okay, so when it was finalized, there was a new Kohen Gadol, but that new Kohen Gadol was not around as the Kohen Gadol when the guy killed somebody.
Yeah, right.
Okay, keep that in mind. In other words, the first Kohen Gadol was around when the killer killed b'shogeg. That Kohen Gadol now has died. Second Kohen Gadol is around before the judgment was made, and now the judgment's made that he's guilty b'shogeg. So, question A, does he go into exile? And upon what does he go back? So the Mishnah says, Chozer b'misasho shel sheni. He returns with the death of the second Kohen Gadol.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll have to discuss that. There's an obvious problem with that. What's the problem with that? Why do we say he goes back? Why do we say he, in general, let's go back to the default case. Why does guy go back with the death of the Kohen Gadol?
Because the Kohen Gadol didn't pray enough.
Okay, so the question is, the second Kohen Gadol, what was he supposed to pray for? He wasn't around when he killed.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's going to be a question the Gemara is going to deal with. All right, so we need to understand the logic of both of these halachas. Okay, now we go to the third scenario. Nigmar dino. Now we're going to give not just a few scenarios now, but three cases. They're all going to have the same law. So we're going to explain every case, but I'm not going to tell you the law yet until we get to all the cases. Nig Martino below Kohen Gadol. What if his sentence was finalized? There was no Kohen Gadol around at the time of the sentencing. Okay, let's say the Kohen Gadol died before the sentencing. No new Kohen Gadol was established till he was sentenced. Now he's sentenced. Now he goes into exile. Now there's a new Kohen Gadol. Okay. Is he going to go back with the death of that new Kohen Gadol or not? No. Case number one. How about like this? Vehahore Kohen Gadol. Or what if somebody killed the Kohen Gadol inadvertently? Or, let's do another one. Vekohen Gadol Shaharig. Or Kohen Gadol kills inadvertently. All three cases... Eina yotze misham leolam. They never leave. Any one of those three cases do not leave. Okay? And it means the next Kohen Gadol isn't going to help in either one of those two cases. The guy kills the Kohen Gadol, obviously it's got to be the next Kohen Gadol, right? If the Kohen Gadol kills, it's got to be the next Kohen Gadol, right? In all three cases, there's no Kohen Gadol effectively, you'd assume, well, not necessarily at the time of that judgment. So he doesn't go away for at all. Interesting, the Gemara does not. Now, the first two cases we did, the Gemara is going to discuss it and give reasons. Yeah. Gemara does not give a reason for this halacha. Mm-hmm. So we got to come up with some commentaries. Tosfos Yonah explains that a Kohen Gadol appointed after the sentencing bears no responsibility for the killing or for the subsequent sentence. He wasn't around when the guy was killed. He wasn't around for the sentencing either. He was just a new man on the block. Therefore, he's not liable to the punishment of having the killer's release made dependent upon his death. The case of one who killed a Kohen Gadol, as well as that a Kohen Gadol who killed, is in effect identical to the case of one whose sentence was finalized without there being a Kohen Gadol at the time of sentencing. When a Kohen kills or is killed, there's, generally speaking, unless you're very fast, no acting Kohen Gadol at the time of exile. Because from the time that a guy kills and the time he's going to be sentenced, it could very well be the same day. Okay? It's not likely you're going to get a new Kohen Gadol that fast. There, generally speaking, I mean, maybe you could squeeze it in and then it would go back to the case beforehand. In other words, you follow what I'm saying? Yeah. If you kill the Kohen Gadol, the assumption is you're not going to get another Kohen Gadol until he's going to be judged to go to exile. Right? If, though, let's say there was, okay, and that new Kohen Gadol was put in before the judgment was finalized, then we revert back to the halacha beforehand, that you're going to go back with the death of that Kohen Gadol, which the Gemara is going to explain why. So it's assumed these cases are basically the common denominator in all three cases. There was no Kohen Gadol alive when the fellow was sentenced. That's the point. Okay? This implies that if a new Kohen Gadol is appointed before sentencing, right? One who killed a Kohen Gadol and a Kohen Gadol killed would return upon the death of the new Kohen Gadol. That's exactly what I said. Likewise, if one of the other types of Kohen Gadol is alive, remember, let's not forget there are other Kohen Gadols. We haven't even discussed that yet. If there's another Kohen Gadol alive, let's say he was the Kohen Mashiach, according to Rabbi Yehuda, or if it was a temporary Kohen Gadol who no longer is acting as Kohen Gadol. So if one of the types of Kohen Gadol is alive at the time of sentencing, these goes to return upon his death. Let's keep it at the simple pshat. Let's not go into the Ritva who disagrees, but that's a simple way of understanding the Gemara. Now, very interesting now, and this is a very hard halacha, and my initial look at the commentaries had no answer for it. They even asked the question that you were all going to ask in a minute, and I'm going to say, I don't know the answer. Now, let's assume now the guy is now sitting in the city of refuge. Doesn't matter under what conditions. He's waiting for a Kohen Gadol to die, or he's never leaving, but he's there. Now, let's say he is needed for something. Mm-hmm. He's needed for... Can you think of any situation where this fellow would be needed?
Shochet.
What?
Shochet.
Well, it's not likely he's the only shochet in the entire land of Israel.
Maybe his family, someone passed away.
You got it. The whole land of Israel here.
Somebody passed away in his family.
Okay. Somebody passed away in his family.
Direct family, so maybe he has to go.
Why does he have to go?
I can have it without fuel.
Why does he have to go? So what?
He's a witness.
He'd like to go, but he doesn't.
So he doesn't have to go. Mm-hmm. He'll say Kaddish in the city of refuge. Okay, okay, witness.
Witness.
What if he's a witness? Okay, what else?
The only one.
Okay. Okay, so very good. So the Mishnah says, Ve'ena yotze, okay, and he does not leave for at all. Right? Any inadvertent killer, doesn't matter, does not leave for any reason ever, including, but not, what's the word they say? But not, we haven't covered everyone.
Not exclusive.
But not exclusive. Lo leidus mitzvah, not for mitzvah testimony. Let's say he can testify about the new moon. Mm-hmm. They need people to testify the new moon. Or, look at what commentary here, any other mitzvah, such as to save someone from bandits or from a fire. Let's say he writes outside. Remember, he can go till the city limits of an Eir Miklat. He's seeing 500 yards outside, somebody's robbing somebody. You know what?
Two witnesses for a crime, and he's one of the two witnesses.
Yeah, let's say so. Yeah, exactly. For Lola Adis Mammon, and not for witnessing any monetary issues. For Lola Adis Nefashos, not even testimony regarding a punishment. So we're going from lesser to greater Chiddush. Suppressing of testimony regarding a mitzvah, that doesn't violate a prohibition. So I didn't testify about the new moon. Mm-hmm. Okay. Suppressing a testimony regarding a monetary dispute, there's already a prohibition going on. Somebody's stealing money from somebody, and he can help adjudicate that. Still, he's forbidden to leave the city of refuge, not only for the former, even for the latter. Testimony regarding a monetary dispute is a far less urgent than testimony regarding the death penalty. Still, he's forbidden to leave, not only for the former, even for the latter. He can't go. We take it further now. Even the Jewish people need him badly. Such as Vafilu Sarts of all Yisrael, even if he's the chief general of Israel, Yoav ben Tzuruya. Why do we pick Yoav ben Tzuruya? You'll see later on. There's a story where he thought he would be saved tomorrow. We'll talk about it. Why we picked him as an example. We need him. He's our great general. Eina Yaitza Misham Le'olam. He never leaves. What it means, never leaves? It means until the Kohen Gadol dies. So it says Le'olam here, don't mean forever he never leaves, but as far as we're concerned, this is forever. He never leaves until the Kohen Gadol dies. Or let's say it's a case where a guy was finalized before there was a new Kohen Gadol appointed. Then he never leaves either. He doesn't. Now, okay, now here it is. Many commentators ask an obvious question. It's a well-known principle that the saving of human life and certainly saving all Israel overrides all Torah position. Why then should an indispensable war general not be permitted to leave the city temporarily? There's all kinds of, the Pharisee Yisrael, the first commentary, that's one I had time to look at it today, it asks all the questions and remains with a, I don't understand the answer. Okay? In other words, and he's saying he shouldn't go. That's it.
But if he has to bring a korban.
If he has to bring a korban, he can't go. That's a good question.
He has to like bring his nazir.
Well, obviously, he shouldn't make himself a nazir.
No, if he was already.
If he was a nazir. Okay. That's an interesting scenario. But if you recall, we mentioned, remember we did the Rambam? What if a guy doesn't bring certain korbanos? He doesn't know he sins. The korban of the. The Kohen Gadol atones for him, so maybe that would help him out there. But it's a major problem. I'll look further, see if I can come up with something else. But it's a difficult halacha. But here's the it's based on a pasuk, and the pasuk says so. It's Gzeiras HaKosuv. So now we have to understand why Hashem says this. Mm-hmm. There is a source for this. It's not like stam. Shenemar. Pasuk says when he leaves, Asher Nas Shama. That he fled there. Okay? So here's the point. Veshivo Oso Ha'eda, that once they judge him that he's killed Bishogeg, they return him back El Ir Miklotaso Asher Nas Shama, that he fled there. Now, the Pasuk could have said it easier. He will return to his to his city of refuge. It just should have said, Veshiva Seira El Ir Miklato. Period. Just El Ir Miklato, to his city of refuge. Why does it say Asher Nashama, that he fled there before? Remember when you kill right away?
Yeah.
Right away you go to Ir Miklat.
Right.
Then we bring you back.
Right.
Okay, so now the Torah says, okay, we brought him back, we judged him. Now, if he has to go back, so it says, Veshivu Osoha Eda El Ir Miklato. The Congress shall return him back to his city of refuge.
Yeah.
What do you need the next three words for? Asher Nas Shama. That he fled there. We know he fled there already.
Yeah. Well, that becomes his city of refuge.
I understand,
so
but what do you...
Anywhere else.
I understand. Why does it say the next three words? Asher Nas Shama. They return him to his Ir HaMiklat. Obviously, his Ir HaMiklat. Why does it say where he fled there? So that's coming to teach us something extra. Asher Nashama, especially the word Shama. Sham Tehedi Russell, there shall be his dwelling place. Sham Tehe Misaso, there shall be his death. Meaning, even if he's terminally ill, he may not return home to die. One might have thought that when the Torah states, and he shall live, right? It says, and the inadvertent killer shall flee to one of those cities, he shall live, means obligation to remain in exile lasts only as long as the city keeps him alive, by protecting him from the Gaol Adam. But if he's soon to die in any case, maybe he's allowed to leave, goes, what does it matter? The guy's dying. He's going to die in another day or two. He says, I'd like to go back, I'd like to go to my patriarchal tomb.
Right.
Please. Well, you know, the guy can kill the back. What do I care? I'm dying anyway. So if he kills me a day earlier, you know, let me go. No, you got to die there. And Sham Teik Furaso, there has to be his burial, right? For nothing. Even for him to be buried.
Wow.
He's buried at the city of refuge. Now, again, the puzzle says, so that he shall live. Okay, so he should go there so he shall live. But now he's dead. The word Shama there recurs repeatedly in the two scriptural passages that discuss the exile of the inadvertent killer. The mystic expounds three of these recurrences to teach these three laws. It wasn't once, we showed you once. It says it a few times, the word Shama. All extra. Right? So the Mishnah gives you one of the psukim, but there's really many more, and they keep saying Sham, there, there, there. Why do you keep saying there? Now, very interesting, if the exile ignores these strictures and leaves, oh, I want to go anyway to the funeral. He has given himself over to death, as the Mishnah will explain shortly. Because if you step out of the Ir HaMiklat, you can get killed. Now, obviously, the question now is, Afalpikein, I want to go.
Yeah.
And he's Braveheart, you know. The Jews need me. The Jews need me, but the relatives they kill you. I'll kill them on the way. I'm a Braveheart, you know. I guess you could. I mean, but really, you're not supposed to leave. But the pasuk really saying you're not supposed to leave. Okay, you're going to defy the law. You defy the law, but he's not supposed to leave. That's the point. Now, that's what Torah is saying. Three times, there, there, there. You got to stay there if you're needed, if you want to die somewhere else, if you're dead already. We will see later, that after a period of time, his bones can be brought back to the patriarchal tomb. Later, it can be brought back to his to where it wants to go. Right? So therefore, that's a gzeres hakasuv. You got to stay there forever. If you want to know more of the logic for that, I just saw yesterday, I was looking at the Nesiva Shalom, and that's going to be the 8 a.m. class. The Nesiva Shalom discusses this point, why that is so, why he even being buried, and he gives a fascinating answer. I'm not letting the cat out of the bag, at least till after Shabbos. Okay, so, and a lot of the guys that are at the table, they go to the class, whatever. So, but that's, he discusses that from a Hasidic perspective. Yeah?
Does the Torah give him lashes if he leaves, or?
No, it doesn't say thou shalt not leave. It says he stays there.
Okay.
It doesn't say, there's no pasuk that says he shalt not leave. It says he will stay there.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so that's a positive.
Okay.
I thought it was all about protecting him so that he doesn't get killed by the Gaol Adam. So
you see, that's not so. It's not only about, again, why is he going to the city of refuge?
It's an atonement.
It's an atonement for him for what?
For and he never became careful.
And what's the main form of atonement? That he has to fix his midos. So you got to stay there. So God, remember, a little bit, he got to say, not a little, God is involved in this process. It's not that God was, you know, somebody killed inadvertently. Oh, what should we do with this fellow? That's not exactly how God runs the world. God obviously intended that this guy should kill this fellow inadvertently. You know, you could be chopping wood all day long. You could have wood chips be flying all day long, and nobody happens to be walking by. You know, let's say you're a professional wood chopper for 50 years, and you've chopped 50 years in a field. You've never taken any precautions, and nobody ever came there. Obviously, God didn't feel it necessary for you to go to exile, for whatever reason God thought. And then you could be a guy, the only one time in your life that you chopped wood in a forest, and that one time you kill somebody, is because God meant for you to kill that person, because for whatever reason, he wants you to work on your midos. And you work on them by being in the Ir HaMikla. So now, if God already has arranged for you to go there, he's also arranged how long you have to be there. And he could have had you kill somebody 5 years earlier, 10 years later. But he says, no, I want you to be in that Ir HaMikla for precisely 17 years, 33 days. Right? So already, that's the will of God. So once that's the will of God, and that's it. So now you got to stay. That is the designated period. So it's not you're going there because you would be saved from the Gaol Adam. Mm-hmm. The Gaol Adam is just there, A, to ensure you don't leave, and to feel that he always can try to avenge the death of his brother, whatever. But that's not the main reason you're going there. Let's say there was no Gaol Adam. You still go there for that period of time. Okay, you might be... You might want to say, I want to leave. I'm tired of this business. So Hashem says, oh, there's a Gaol Adam just to make sure that you stay there. Okay? So, therefore, it appears that that fellow doing the tshuva by being there supersedes any other avodas Hashem that he has to do. That's what you see. Now, I'm not going to give any mufas anymore. I have to speak out the Nesiva Shalom. So we're going to wait on that. Okay, now.
So what if the during while he's in the city of refuge, so the Kohen Gadol gets murdered by, and they can't figure out who it's an unsolved crime, so they would still let him out?
Yes, as soon as he dies.
It could be him who did it.
I doubt it. I know what Tony's thinking. He's thinking of a Columbo scenario. He's thinking, you know, this is a very interesting thing you're saying. I'd never thought of that. He says, well, what if the guy in the Ermiklet murders the Kohen Gadol?
Yeah. Yeah. And they can't figure out.
He knows that that is the only way he can go back.
Okay, again. Yeah. So, you know, it'd have to be an investigation. If he indeed killed him, he won't have to stay in the city refuge very long. Yeah. He'll be killed by the best.
That's why I said they might not know.
Okay, interesting scenario. All right, next. Now, how far is he protected in the Ir HaMiklat? Kishem Shair Koletes, just like the city itself, inside the walls of the city, whatever, doesn't have to be walled, but inside provides him refuge. Kach Tchuma Kolet, so to the Tchum of the city offer refuge. Remember, Tchum is the 2,000 amos, that's about 1 kilometer radius around the city in all four directions. All right, so you're allowed to be within the tchum, so the avenger cannot kill him there as well. The tchum protects him as well. It's all this week's parsha. We derive it from a pasuk in this week's parsha. Them say the Gaol Adam can kill the exile if he leaves the border of the city, and border refers to the tchum. So that's what it says. There's other proofs from different psukim, etc., etc. Now look. All Levite cities, including the six specifically designated as Ir HaMiklat, are bounded by a perimeter consisting of both an area and of tillage. This perimeter is what the Mishnah refers to as the Tchum. It's part of the city, therefore it harbors the killer. Okay, be that as may, so the Tchum also saves him. Okay, now we come to the interesting scenario. What happens if for whatever reason the killer leaves the Tchum? Now, what's the law? And there's a number of scenarios here. A, who's allowed? Let's start it like this. A, is anyone allowed to kill him? A.
Yes.
B, or maybe are people having a mitzvah to kill him? Or is it if they want to kill him, they can kill him? There's three possibilities. You can't kill him. If you want to, you can kill him. Or it's a mitzvah to kill him. Second thing to consider, who are we talking about? Is it only the Goel Adam, or what about anybody else? Those are the six possible scenarios. So the Mishnah will go through all of them in brief order. Let's say the killer went out even of the tchum now. And now the Redeemer finds him. What are the options? We have a machlokes. Rabbi Yossi Aglili Omer says, mitzvah biad goel adam. It's a mitzvah. It means he's doing a mitzvah. It's a good. He should. Hashem wants him to kill him. Wow. That, where does he get that? It's all in this week's parsha. It says if he goes out, verotzach goel adam es arotzach, and the goel adam will kill him. We will see later on Yud Beis Amud Aleph for discussion. Etc., etc. So he will kill him. So the difference between one who leaves the tchum deliberately and one who leaves inadvertently. There's going to be a discussion. What if he didn't realize? One guy says, I'm going out, I don't care, I'm going out, I can't stand it in here. Or a guy didn't realize he left the tchum. The lawyer's going to discuss if there's a difference there. Any relative, male or female, fit to inherit the person who was killed can be a goel adam. That's what goel adam is defined as. Any relative who could possibly inherit. Some are saying Rambam to be referring to the actual heir of the deceased. Okay, currently even a very distant relative could be the Goel Adam if he or she is the closest relative. Okay, that's just details of that. Chaznich writes that the Rambam's wording fit to inherit describes the six close relatives, even if they're not presently inheriting, it classifies direct heirs, father, mother, brother, sister, son, or daughter. Okay, this difference, machlok, is exactly how close you have to be. Okay, it's all discussion, blah, blah, blah. Okay, fine. So it's a mitzvah, because it says to kill, if he leaves, verotzach goel adam. The daughter of them will kill him. Okay, so that's a mitzvah. But what about anybody else?
No.
Urishus biyad kolom. And if anybody else wants to, they're permitted.
Sure.
In other words, it's not that it's a mitzvah. If you're a relative, you should kill him. Hashem wants you to kill him. If you're just a person standing by, if you want a friend of the family, who's a good friend of the guy who got killed, see? You killed my best friend. Sorry, you're not a goel adam. No, you are permitted. Yeah. It's not a mitzvah, but they're permitted. That's Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Rabbi Akiva takes it one step down on all aspects.
No.
Rabbi Akiva Omer, Rishus biad goel adam. It's permitted. And when the Torah says he kills him, means if he'll want to kill him and not that he has to kill him.
Mm-hmm.
And now look at this. What about just a friend? V'chol adam, anyone who kills him, chayovim olav. They'll be liable for his death and they will be killed.
Wow, that's a big difference, yeah.
Okay, the version of the Mishnah's final clause that appears in the standard text is as we have it. V'chol adam chayovim olav, and any others are liable for killing him. And this is the way we have with the Marshal's emendation. The original reading was, V'chol adam ein chayovim olav. The original reading says others are not liable for killing. Some keep that reading. It's a machlokas of that original reading or the accepted reading. And there seems to be an argument about what the text is. Is you have the word ein or not?
Yeah.
The original text, the oldest text, had ein. Then the Marsha said, then you got to fix it up. It doesn't make sense. You are chayiv. So according to the original reading, if the exile is found outside the city of refuge, he may be killed with impunity by anyone at all. According to that opinion, anybody can kill him. Didn't see the Goel Adam and others, according to this reading. Aye, but what are we saying? It was just Rishus. So what's the difference now? If you say the Goel Adam is Rishus, optional, and anyone else who kills doesn't get punished, so what's the difference? Just say both of them are Rishus.
Yeah.
So what's the difference? It's like this. The Goel Adam is absolutely within his rights to kill the exile. He is permitted to kill him. Lechatchila, initially.
Mm-hmm.
Others are forbidden to kill him, but if they do so, they're exempt from the death penalty. That will be the difference according to that reading.
Right.
Follow? Okay, in other words, if Well, again, we said like this. According to, this is who, Rabbi Yosef Glili? Rabbi Akiva. The first opinion said, no, it's a mitzvah. Rabbi Akiva saying, no. Rabbi Akiva saying, no, for the relative, if he wants to, he can. Lichat chila, he can, but it's not a mitzvah. Others, lichat chila, should not. But b'dieved, if he did it, then they won't be killed. Okay.
Rabbi Akiva says that he won't.
No, this is Rabbi Akiva. That's the reading in Rabbi Akiva. Remember, there's two versions.
I thought he said that
there's two versions. We had the Tana Kama, was Rabbi Yossi, was Tana Kama. Remember, Tana Kama said it's a mitzvah for him to kill him,
right.
And others, optional.
Right.
Now, Rabbi Akiva dropped it down a level, said optional for the relative, and then if anyone else, now we have the two girsas. One says they're not chayiv. Okay, then what's the difference between them and the relative? Relative is not chayiv either. So we're saying, according to Rabbi Akiva, the relative lichatchila is permitted. It's not a mitzvah, yeah, but lichatchila he's permitted.
That's a mitzvah.
And the other people lichatchila shouldn't.
Right.
But if they do, they won't get killed.
If they do, they will be killed. Right?
No, that's the other reading.
Okay,
that's
okay,
if you change the reading.
Okay.
Those who retain the original reading derive the exemption of an outsider who kills the exile from the same verse that gives a Goel Adam a permit to kill him. The verse reads, "For etzach Goel Adam asaratzech ein lo dam." The redeemer of blood will kill the killer. He has no blood. The final clause, he has no blood, teaches that one cannot be liable for killing the exile, for he is a dead man who has no blood. We had this before at another halacha. If somebody goes into your house in the middle of the night and breaks in, if you kill him, it also says, ain't low blood. In other words, what it means is, ain't low blood. If he left, he's a dead man. Whoever kills him is killing a dead man. The question is a mitzvah, a chachila, or b'dieved, but he's a dead man. So that's why they retain that saying, he's a dead man. What about the other way the Marshal changes it and says we amend it to say they are Chayiv Misa? Now we're going with the other version now. So Tosas Yonah explains Marshal's reasoning amending the Mishnah. Marshal was troubled by the difference in terminology between Rabbi Akiva's ruling regarding the Goel Adam who is permitted to kill the exile and his ruling regarding others who are simply not liable. He says, what's the difference? We gave an answer, but the Marshal didn't like that answer. The different terms indicate different laws. And therefore, Marshal amends the second clause to reflect this and says you would die. So Yontov responds, no, he disagrees with that amendation, that the term permitted reflects the Torah's explicit permit to the Goel Adam to kill the exile. Others, by contrast, are not explicitly permitted to kill him. Therefore, he describes their permit as they are not liable. Okay, so it's a big machlokas how to read the last part of this Mishnah. You see next to there, if you look in the Hebrew by the yellow, you see a little ches over, a little aleph over there. That means there's textual changes that some are making. So v'chol adam chayovim alav, that's the original text, right? And then the Marshals want to change v'chol ein chayovim alav. So therefore, it's a machlokes. Are you getting the death penalty or are you not getting the death penalty? That's a machlokas in that gear saw. Okay, tomorrow we will get into the reasons of the first two cases of the Mishnah. When we get a new kohen gadol, when the judgment is made, and the case after that as well. Okie dokie. Okay.